friends. I'm your host, Erin Port, and welcome to the Simple Purposeful Living Podcast. Life can be overwhelming and busy, so once a week, I invite you to join me, and together we will make simple tweaks to uncomplicate the hard parts of our life so we can spend more time doing what we love. You don't have to overhaul your life to love it, so let's get started. Welcome back, friends. We are in part three of our Simplify, Streamline, and Succeed in 2024 series. The first part, we talked about setting up a successful weekly game plan in episode 35. And then in episode 36, part two, we talked about realistic goal setting. And today we're going to be talking all about decluttering your home. Because I don't know about you, but with the new year comes the urge to declutter. Maybe it's the sudden influx of the new gifts and belongings that are still under that tree or in a pile in the corner because you don't have a permanent home for them, so now that's their permanent home. Maybe you enjoyed the white space of just putting away the holiday decor that it brought. Oh my goodness. My son said to me the other day, "Mom, our house just feels so much bigger and brighter without all the holiday decor." I'm always surprised myself at how much brighter my office gets when I put away my beloved Santa tree. However, life has resumed, and if you're anything like me, I'm trying to find my bearings again of who's got what and what are we going to have for dinner, let alone decluttering the whole house. That can just feel downright overwhelming and can stop us from that thought before we even begin. And we're just going to have, or maybe you begin and you're just going to have another pile of stuff by the pile of the stuff you have still under the Christmas tree. So why even bother decluttering? Okay, so my kids love a good bodily function analogy, and in this case, it fits. You'll probably never forget this analogy. Our body declutters daily. Take that in for a minute. We keep the nutrients we need after we eat, and then we get rid of the rest. We poop. And if our body declutters, then we should probably consider decluttering a regular part of our home routine as well, because our home is living and breathing and active with people inside, things coming and going. And so if our body poops, well, then we need to declutter our house, all right? For years as I decluttered, I would get so frustrated with myself. Why am I still decluttering? Shouldn't I have this figured out by now? And then I realized I'm not doing anything wrong. Our homes, like I said, are living and being lived in. At the very least, things like groceries and school papers come in weekly. Decluttering needs to be a regular part of our routine just as much as laundry or cleaning the bathrooms is. When we declutter, it leaves white space, breathing room for us to access what we love and it be able to grab things more quickly, right? When we have a decluttered space, we can easily see the things that we love. We can access them. We can grab them easily. We can create things on our counters. We can enjoy time with our families. So, how does one declutter without getting overwhelmed? Because it can be overwhelming. Well, I'm so glad you asked. Okay, number one, we're going to talk about breaking down a big project like decluttering your whole house into bite-sized pieces. So last week we talked about realistic goal setting, and I told you about how many people like to read books, right? Like 50 books a year. And I said, that feels overwhelming. But if you break down a big task of reading 50 books a year into bite-sized pieces, you would say, maybe I want to read 5 to 7 books a month. And that equates to about one book a week. So you go from 50 books in a year to one book a week. And suddenly that feels doable. And we're going to do the same thing with decluttering, right? The best way is to begin is to start small. So every January, like you, I get the itch to declutter. So I create a list on my notes app of my phone. All right. And I will write things down like kitchen, living room, bathroom. But I don't stop there. I take it one step further and I break down those projects into bite-sized pieces. So I'm going to have a heading, kitchen. But then in there, I'm going to have like indented bullet points of spots within my kitchen that I want to declutter. My junk drawer, my utensil drawer, my pan drawer, my whatever other things you have in your kitchen. And I'm going to just break it all down into bite-sized pieces because we are going to feel so much more progress when we can cross off a tiny project than feeling like I'm never going to get the kitchen done. You're going to say like, oh my goodness, I actually got some things done. Okay. So take your big home decluttering project and break it into bite-sized pieces. You'll feel progress without feeling overwhelmed by doing this, okay? And then as you have a small chunk of time, you can choose a task and get to work. And I have a tweak for that as well. Stay tuned. Okay, the next thing I want you to think about, and this has really also been a big aha for me, is there are different types of decluttering. So the type of decluttering I was just talking about where I'm going to write down all of the places in my home that I want to declutter, I do that yearly. I have big aspirations that I'm going to do it more than once a year, but besides my closets, I literally just focus on doing this one time of year, like this overhaul decluttering, times where I pull everything out of the drawers or closets, I vacuum, wipe things down, I touch every item, and I decide whether to keep it or to get rid of it. I usually, like I said, only do this about once a year. It generally happens in January and February because, like I said, I just get the itch and I have the time to do it. But then in between this like yearly decluttering that I do, I see decluttering as a regular routine. All right. As things wear out or we get something new, we replace the old, we get rid of what we don't need. So the other day on social media, I shared that I got a new pair of tennis shoes for Christmas. I try to get a new pair every year because I broke my hip and tore my MCL in high school. And mama's got to take care of herself. So once a year, I get a new pair of shoes. And I had this inclination that I needed to keep my old tennis shoes because I don't know why, because maybe what if, which we're going to talk about later. And then I thought, no, I'm going to let them go, right? We need to, when we get new things, we got to let things go. And we'll talk about some of those ideas here in a minute. Another idea was my daughter tried on a dress during the holiday season that was too small. And so I asked her, what do you want to do with it? And she said, I'm going to pass it on to my cousin. And so we went ahead and put it in a little sack for me to take to her cousin later this month. Making decluttering a part of our routine and our vocabulary with ourselves and our family is so helpful. And it also is helpful when we have a spot to set it, which we're going to talk about. But just having decluttering as a part of our regular routine, as like I said, as things wear out. Now, the last type of decluttering you might not even think of as decluttering, you might call it picking up. Semantics, right? But I have made picking up and decluttering a part of our daily routine. We spend a few minutes daily tidying up and returning things to their designated spots. I have a couple of key areas that are non-negotiables for our family. Like these are the places I need picked up because I work from home and it just makes everything smoother and simpler for me in my daily routines. So it's mostly my main living areas, my bedroom, my bathroom, the living, dining, and kitchen area. And we pick up these spaces daily. The other spaces like kids' playroom and their bedrooms, we do that on Sunday night during our Sunday night tidy as a family. But for most of us, our kitchen counters are our biggest clutter offenders. If you look at your kitchen, if you're home right now and you look at your counters, like, is there clutter on your counters that isn't supposed to be there? The stuff that's not supposed to be there, right? I'm not talking about like your coffee maker that you use every day that's intentionally sitting there. It's all the other stuff that just kind of gathers, right? And what ends up happening is it just continues clutter begets clutter. Like it's a magnet. Like you put one paper there and then suddenly there's 25 papers there. And so it's really helpful to take care of this daily, to have this as a daily practice. Some of us don't like cooking dinner just because of all the work it takes to clear the counters. So I have found life can be simplified by decluttering my kitchen to only the essentials on my counters, store the rest neatly in cabinets and drawers, and then sort through school papers immediately after school if I can, display what we want on our fridge or the pegboard, and then recycle the rest. Again, a decision deferred is a decision to keep and add clutter. So we close the kitchen down and non-negotiable spaces at night. And then that helps us to prevent clutter from piling up. Plus, you'll wake up in the morning to a clutter-free space, instantly calming the morning chaos. And we know morning chaos, don't we? Mornings are crazy enough. Clear spaces to get what we need done instantly simplifies life. All of these habits work together to keep your living home decluttered, right? Like yearly decluttering, maintenance decluttering, as new things come in, we declutter the things out, and then this daily decluttering. And just as a reminder, you don't have to do all the decluttering on your own. Inviting our kids and our family members into the process simplifies our life and it gives them valuable life skills. We're not just raising kids, we're raising future adults. I say it all the time. These are valuable life skills we're teaching them. And when we shift our perspective of, oh, I feel bad asking them to help, to I'm giving them opportunities to practice these important life skills I wish I had honed earlier, that changes everything. The Simple Purposeful Living podcast is sponsored by the Simple Purposeful Living Shop. Our shop includes our best-selling 52-week meal planner and brain dump notepad, plus all of our other paper print products that help you simplify life on purpose. Visit the Simple Purposeful Living Shop at www.shop.simplepurposefulliving.com and use code PODCAST for 10% off your order. Okay, so how do you then practically make decluttering a part of your regular routine? All right, number one, let's talk about the 15-minute decluttering challenge. When you don't have much time, challenge yourself to taking 15 minutes to declutter. Here's the thing. I can spend 15 minutes easily scrolling on my phone, right? So I set a timer, put my phone down, and see how much I can accomplish. Maybe I pick one item off of that decluttering yearly list in January and February. This is how I get most of that list done, by the way. I set a timer, I share a lot of it on Instagram for a little bit of accountability, right? And I go about doing one of those tasks, even setting a timer for 15 minutes and closing down your kitchen. Our mind, I've talked about this at length before, our mind tells us that undesirable tasks like chores and responsibilities take longer than they do, whereas desirable tasks like scrolling on our phone or reading a book take less time than they do. And so proving to ourselves with a timer that it's not going to take as long as we think is really helpful at overcoming that overwhelm and taking the first step. Remember, little bits of time add up to a big impact on our daily life if you put in the hard work. Plus, remember, you don't have to do it all alone. Okay, the next important spot for decluttering is to have a designated spot for everything. Remember that pile of stuff underneath the Christmas tree, and that's its home because it doesn't have a permanent home? An easy way to maintain a clutter-free home is to ensure every item has a designated spot. Whether it's a shoe basket for shoes by the back door or a junk drawer in the kitchen for all those random pens and notepads that you need, having a specific place for things makes it easier to keep clutter at bay. Then communicate where things go with your family so they can easily grab and stow items they need independently. The designated spot only works if everyone knows where it is and it's easy to put away. One of the downfalls sometimes that happens is we try to over-organize our spaces, get so specific that our families can never maintain the organization because it's either color-coded or it's so specific that, you know, it's just never going to be put back the way that we have it. So I love baskets for this because it just makes it easy, right? Like put your shoes in the basket. That's easy to do, fairly uncomplicated. Okay, another thing that is really helpful when it comes to decluttering is to create a decluttering bin. When I talk about making it easy for maintenance decluttering, right? Like I got those shoes for Christmas and then I needed to get rid of my old shoes and my daughter had this dress that she needed to get rid of. Having a decluttering bin, a designated spot for things to go when you declutter them maintenance-wise is so helpful because what often happens if you don't have a decluttering bin is you're like, okay, I got these new shoes. I'm just going to put the other new shoes in my closet because I don't have a spot for them to go until I take them to donation. And then clutter adds up, right? So having a designated bin for items you want to donate simplifies the decluttering process. We keep a bin in our garage so when we come across something we don't need or use, we can quickly stow that item in the declutter bin. It no longer takes up valuable space in our home, and when the bin gets full, we can take it to donate. And the other thing I like about it is it's out of sight, out of mind most of the time, meaning I'm not looking at those things and thinking, maybe I do need them, right? Like it's out of sight, out of mind, and that helps my kids too. The other thing I've alluded to with my shoe analogy is use the one in and one out rule. implement this rule to prevent new clutter from entering your home. We often think of decluttering, but you must be mindful of what we purchase and bring into our home. If we bring in less stuff, we will have less stuff to declutter. So if you get a new pair of shoes like I did for Christmas, can you let another pair go? For every new item, an old one must go out. This ensures a balance and keeps the clutter in check, right? Like if you get new sheets for your bed, do you really need to keep the 15 that you have in the linen closet? My guess is even if you have the stomach flu, you're not going to go through 15 pairs of sheets. And somebody else can be blessed by those sheets and they aren't just taking up more clutter in your linen closet. And then it's easier for you to see and spot those coveted sheets, right? Because you have coveted sheets. You have the ones you're going to always use and the other ones you're not going to use. And then it's easier to see those ones because the other clutter is gone. All right. And that brings me to my next thing. We have to stop justifying clutter. Clutter is the stuff you must justify keeping. I don't have to justify my favorite black joggers because I wear them all the time. But I do have to justify this bridesmaid dress I'm looking at in my podcast studio, which is my closet, because I might need it someday. And it was my sister's bridesmaid dress. I'm probably never going to wear it again, right? When you hear yourself start to say, I might need this, or what if, that's normally a clue to me that it's okay to let it go. If I have to justify the item, it probably means it's not adding a ton of value to my life in this current season. This is where the donation bin comes in handy because then there's a grace period, right? Where you can grab it if you need it before the donation bin gets full. This is especially helpful if you have family members resistant to decluttering. It's kind of like clutter purgatory. Make sure it has a place to go temporarily that's not in your main space. You're not seeing it all the time. It's not taking up valuable space. But there's a space and time where you can say, okay, if I do need it in maybe the next month or the next 3 months, depending on how long it takes to fill my decluttering bin, I can go out and grab it if I need it. All right. And maybe you have a separate bin for those sorts of things. But I would just encourage you to think about, like, if you have to justify an item, like, it's probably because you're not using it all the time. And that's kind of an indicator that we need to let it go. And the other thing is that decluttering doesn't mean just throwing it in the trash. You can consider donating it to an organization in need. You can give it to family members. You can sell items and make a little bit of money. One of my favorite things to do with kids' clothes is to pass them on to my niece. Not only is it fun for me to see her in the clothes that my daughter wore, it kind of helps me to feel like it's going to live another life somewhere else and I don't have to keep it. Same with sentimental baby items. When we got rid of our crib that all four of our kids slept in, right? Like there is very few things that all four of my kids used, but the crib was one of them. I ended up giving it to a foster family and boy, did that bless me. And it made me feel like, okay, it's going to go on and it's going to live another life somewhere else better than just sitting in the back room in my basement, getting dusty, probably never to be used again. And then the last thing I want you to keep in mind when it comes to decluttering is again, set realistic expectations. Rome wasn't built in a day, and your home isn't going to be decluttered entirely overnight. Like, our homes are never perfectly decluttered because we're living and we're breathing, right? Our homes are full of people, and they're always going to have things and clutter to deal with. But a little bit of consistency over time can make your home feel like the space you want to be in, peaceful, calming, cozy. Celebrate small victories along the way and remember that progress takes time. But those 15-minute increments really do add up. It's crazy to me that if you spend 15 minutes a day for 30 days, how many tasks you can complete, and you're going to just be so proud of yourself. And then last but not least, I want you to think about this. Sometimes we do need outside expert help. And I have some friends on Instagram who do this professionally. They are professional organizers, declutterers. They go in and they help people do this. You might even have a friend or family member that this is sort of their gift, right? Like they're really good at being able to say, hey, do you really need this? And sometimes we need that. We need a little accountability. So don't hesitate to seek help either from a professional organizer or enlist the support of friends and family. Sometimes an extra pair of hands can make a big difference and help you to part with those things that are harder for you to part with. Okay, so what is your practical takeaway this week? What's your tweak to implement this week? Can you create a donation bin, a place for you to put things that you declutter on a maintenance level? Do you need to create a decluttering list? Make sure you break down those bigger projects into bite-sized pieces and list them out. Then, can you set a 15-minute timer this week and do one or two tasks a day? By the end of the week, you might have 7 to 14 tasks done. That's 7 to 14 tasks you didn't have done at the beginning of this week. This podcast is going to be about 20, 25 minutes. You could even listen to this podcast while you do a task. All right. Just remember, as a busy mom, decluttering your home and simplifying your life is a continuous journey. Decluttering is just like everything else. You're doing it all the time. Our body declutters by pooping. You've got to declutter your house too. By implementing some of these simple tips and tricks, you can gradually reduce the clutter in your life, create more time for what matters most, and ultimately achieve a more streamlined and more intentional way of living in 2024. Remember, it's not about perfection, it's about progress, and simple steps lead to purposeful progress. I hope this helps you simplify, streamline, and succeed in 2024. Happy decluttering. Thanks for tuning in to the Simple Purposeful Living podcast. If you like this episode, it would mean so much if you'd share it with a friend or leave a quick rating and review so others can find our show. Until next time, you can find me at Simple Purposeful Living on Instagram and Facebook for some more encouragement and practical tips. You get one life, so let's enjoy it on purpose. Until next time, bye.